Hey, y'all, you are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone, and hi.
Hello.
Okay, so, you know, we're in another Sunday, and it was so funny. I'm mentioning this because I said this to one of our students earlier in the week. I was thinking, like, oh, wow, I can't believe it's September, and then I was like, holy cow, it's like mid-September.
It's actually mid-September.
Past mid-September. How did we already, like, get this far?
I feel like we live in the twilight zone when it comes to being on campus, because for us being a student life, we have all this planning that we do in the summer, and this was kind of a weird summer because we still kind of didn't really know what the fall was going to look like. And then I feel like once the fall hits, it's like warp speed. It's like literally you get in it, you're going, and next thing you know, you blink and the semester's over. But I feel like this point in the semester, going into like the end of September, well, mid-September into October, it flies by.
I agree. And I know you and I were definitely looking at this through the lens of professional staff on campus. I actually am curious to ask our guest later today, you know, what their perspective is on that from like the student perspective in terms of where we are in the semester. Does it feel like we're that far in? But I don't know. Like, it's weird.
It's been crazy. And I'm getting ready to go on a trip at the end of the month. I'm heading down to Orlando because I have to go play at Disney World and Universal. So I'm very excited about that.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about that trip. Like, what are your favorite like parks within the Disney system? Like, what do you prioritize?
You know, I would have to say my favorite park would be Epcot, and a lot of people are probably like rolling their eyes like, that's the least fun park, but hear me out. It's all culture and food and languages and backgrounds, and I mean, it's just everything, so I prefer that.
Yes.
And then I really love Animal Kingdom because I love animals.
Sure.
And I love all, again, it kind of goes back to culture. You get to go to the Africa portion, the Asia portion. It's just kind of fun. Like, I just enjoy being kind of swept away from reality.
Absolutely. No, I will admit, Animal Kingdom is the only park I have not been to. And I would like to go at some point in time. You know, obviously, like, Magic Kingdom is Magic Kingdom.
It is.
But I agree. Like, Epcot, you appreciate it more as an adult.
Do.
When I went the first time when I was 9,
No. It's not, I don't really view Epcot for kids. I think of it like the adult scene. And it's actually the Food and Wine Festival, so you get to try food from different countries, and it's, I don't know, it's just really fun, and I love culture like that, so that's kind of right up my alley.
Now, are you going to their Food and Wine Festival? You just mentioned that.
Yeah. So what they'll do, so those of you that are listening, if you're just curious, it used to just be like a fall thing, but they've actually made it, I guess, start in July. And so they'll have, like, you've got 11 countries in Epcot, I think 11, but then they add extra countries, and it's like a list of like 22 different booths that you can go to.
Yeah.
And then if you like to taste wine or different types of cocktails like that, they'll have like pairings that you can actually do. But I kind of like just go for the food because it's like stuff I never would have really had before. You know, it's like you go to, like, I've had Ethiopian food before, but like the first time I ever tried it was, you know, in Epcot. And I was like, this is awesome. I love trying different foods and things like that. So, yeah, we will spend some time in Epcot and Animal Kingdom and Hollywood Studios and Magic Kingdom, which is probably my least favorite now that I'm an adult, because I'm like, you know. But in Universal Studios. So if you're a Harry Potter fan, that's kind of your place to go, which I love everything about Harry Potter. And it's just fun. It's just fun being a kid.
Well, I'm going to live vicariously through you.
You can. You can.
Now, okay, so what are the dates that you are going?
So the end of the month.
Okay.
So we're getting close. Actually, next week, I'll be flying out.
Very nice. I, next month, we have two trips planned to just the beach.
Yeah.
And I hate saying, like, just the beach, because, like,
but
it's the beach.
It is the beach.
Vitamin C, you know? So I feel like it's good that we both have some fun things that we're sprinkling through the fall, so there is that work-life balance. And, you know, and we mentioned that because we talk to our listeners all the time about work-life balance. So live it up.
Go
to the beach. Go to Disney World. All the things. But y'all, we are going to get back on task after the break. I know we need to take one. Y'all grab a beverage, talk to your Disney planner, do what you got to do. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied, and we'll catch you on the flip side.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney, and we're just talking about jet setting and traveling because I guess apparently we need a break. I don't know about you, Sheena. Wellness Week was last week, and y'all had a lot of activities. I know for us at the Rec Center, we've been super busy because, I mean, it's been a madhouse, just people excited about working out again. So I was like, I'm going to peace out and go to Orlando and play around in the parks. And you're going to the beach in October. So,
yes.
I mean, we're just going places.
So, yeah. So listeners, don't be mad at us because I was thinking about it and I was like, gosh, I was like, I hope that we don't sound like we're like, oh, let's go jet set and everything. And people are like, we have real lives and real obligations.
Yeah.
But seriously, again, work-life balance. We talked about that during the break, but for those of you that don't know, September is National Recovery Month. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we always like to partner with our different departments on campus, including our collegiate recovery services. And so one of the guests that we have today is Mr. Ben Spellman, who is not a stranger to the show. Ben, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me. This is something I look forward to. Pretty much every September.
Yeah.
This is the third one now. And for me, it's just kind of like the official, like, so when we come into the fall semester, they're just the little things that start coming on piece by piece. But this is kind of like, okay, the fall semester is officially full on started.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, I don't know what kind of social media accounts you have, but, you know, usually in people's About Me section, they'll, you know, do their little, like, humble brag. So I would totally expect you to say, like, something along the lines of, like, recurring radio show guest.
Yes.
Like, you don't have to name drop, like, our show, but just to say, like, you're a recurring radio show guest. Is, you know, that's kind of...
Well, and I was going to say, too, I mean, this is your third time on the show, right?
It is.
So I think the first time we had you, it was before the pandemic, so we recorded in the studio, and then the second time was through Zoom, which was definitely not my favorite. I'm so over Zoom. Sorry, developers of Zoom, but I'm over it. But, and then now, finally, we're back in the studio, so how does it feel to kind of be coming back into, like, a normal type of, I don't know, like, schedule?
Much more familiar. I think that would be the best word to use. Especially last year, it was just so unfamiliar.
Yeah.
It's like everything was new, and then about the time that we would get our feet under us and get used to it and find that equilibrium, something would change, and okay, now it's starting to look like we're going back to more normal stuff. Oh, hold on, wait, no, we're not. And it's just been kind of a never-ending search for balance. So
roller coaster.
Yes. It's nice to have some familiarity. If I could talk today. Familiarity.
See, and that's the thing. Now that we're in the studio, it's like, it's hard because I found myself like getting tongue-tied, like being around people again because it's like I'm so used to like seeing people on the screen. And when I see people in real life, I'm like, oh, you're real. We're back in real life. This is crazy. So, yeah, I get tongue-twisted a lot.
And I never realized before until everybody started wearing masks how much I depend on reading lips to understand what somebody's saying.
Yes. And you've got on one of the fancy masks. Mm-hmm. That's like a Coach Saban kind of mask.
It is. When I got it, I literally Googled Saban mask.
Yeah.
Well, and this is the one that came up.
I mean, have to do that Googling.
It's pretty cool because like I can still kind of see through it a little bit, which is cool. I've always wondered like how those work, but I've heard that those are the most comfortable masks to wear.
They are. This is the most comfortable I've found.
Yeah.
Yes. Huh. We even, so a few weeks ago, we had Dr. Perez, our Vice President of Student Health and Wellbeing, and he had a mask like yours as well. So yeah, it must be like you're in the in crowd. So now I'm like, I got to Google this. But you know, Ben, even though you have been on our show before, you know, Whitney and I, we gain so many new listeners every year because, you know, we're just a very popular show on Sunday afternoon. And so since we do have some new listeners who may not be familiar with you, tell us a little bit about yourself as far as where you're from, campus organizations you're in, your grad program job. Like, we got to know your life. Tell us the deets, man.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm from up around Gadsden, Alabama, kind of the northern part of the state. I'm 32 years old. I am someone in long-term recovery. My sobriety date's March 30th of 2016. I was addicted to opioids and alcohol for the majority of my 20s. Bounced in and out of rehab time after time. And, you know, there's a whole storyline that goes into all that. But the long and short of it, I tried to attend school here at UA twice, and both times failed miserably, left to my own devices. Got sent off to treatment, and the third time it finally stuck, or I say it has stuck so far.
Mm-hmm.
five and a half years or so, something has stuck thus far.
Mm-hmm.
I went off and stayed a year away and really didn't have any plans on coming back. And then I crossed paths again with Dr. Jaime Garza, and he kind of bullied me into coming back.
That's a good word for him.
I have heard, like, let's just take a pause real quick. I have heard that Jaime has, like, a sense of, like, it's hard to describe, but, like, because he's been there, done that kind of mm-hmm. thing. Like, he knows what to say, he knows what to do, and it's, like, this tough love, and I've heard that mm-hmm. from a lot of people.
Yes.
Yes, it is. And I say that kind of jokingly, mm-hmm. bullying. I mean, it is kind of true. But
yeah.
it was for my best interest.
You're coming back to school. Yeah.
I mean, I'd made an appointment to come meet with him just to talk about, because I wanted to stay at the treatment facility that I had graduated from. And I was going to stay there and just work there and then mm-hmm. live my life happily.
Mm-hmm.
And I reached back out to Jaime and made an appointment to come see him, and as soon as I walked in the door, there was no, hey, how you doing? Great to see you.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, come here and fill out this readmission form.
I love that.
Well, and I said, I don't really think I want to go. He said, I don't care, do it anyway.
Yeah, but okay. You know, and I love that, like, where the heart of all of that is that he sees people in the beyond as far mm. as, like, what your potential is mm-hmm. and really just wanting all of what life has to offer for you. And, you know, even though his techniques are, you know, just a little non-traditional,
uh-huh.
like, we just have such mad respect for him
mm-hmm.
because, like, we know where his heart is in that tough love. So that's really cool. So,
yeah. So after returning back for the third time, I worked towards and finished my undergraduate degree in addiction and recovery
mm-hmm.
and had a nice little job set up for me, ready to go down in Savannah, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And, was engaged at the time, mm-hmm. and then we made big plans for the wedding, and then the pandemic comes.
Mm-hmm.
And again, a whole long story goes into that too, but the result of it is I ended up in graduate school in the marriage and family therapy program here at UA, and we just got married a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh. Congratulations.
Thank you. It was we had to call some audibles,
uh-huh.
but made it happen.
Uh-huh.
You know, and we're excited about it. And here I am.
Here you are. And I think that's such a great story. And the amount of time you said your sobriety date was March
30th of 2016.
30th of 2016. And that's 5 years. I mean, that's pretty awesome. I mean, that's an amazing accomplishment. I always love to hear people's sobriety dates because I have in my phone my brother and his wife, their sobriety dates as well, mm-hmm. because I'm always like, happy birthday, you know, like every time it's their sobriety date, because that's their, you know, that in our eyes, I guess, just being involved with them, what they've gone through, that's how I see, like, their birthday is, like, you've started over. And, you know, it's always a pretty, pretty cool and can be a very emotional thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's awesome. So tell us a little bit. We're going to go on a break pretty soon, but I'm curious. What has the pandemic been like for you? Because we talked a little bit before the break and we were like, man, this has been crazy. And I just kind of like to get everybody's perspectives. But I mean, how did you make it? I mean, obviously you're doing great because you're married. You're going through your graduate school program. You look great. So, like, I mean, how'd you make it?
Just keep going.
Yeah.
That's really all it was. You know, I was fortunate enough to come through kind of a school of teaching and recovery mm. that taught me to have a solid foundation in a spiritual connection
mm.
and really working and having that foundation to stand on when the community piece of it was kind of pulled away
mm-hmm. mm.
through no fault of our own.
Yeah.
That was huge
mm-hmm.
to be
mm-hmm.
able to have that to stand on and then start to, as things started changing and moving back in, you know, kind of acclimating back to almost feeling like unnormal was normal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just being comfortable with consistently changing things up.
Mm-hmm.
No, well, and I love how you articulate that, just like, you know, being used to the unnormal being mm-hmm. the normal and what that looks like. And, you know, Ben, you've shared, you know, just like a wonderful, like, history and timeline of things, and we want to continue this conversation. And I know Whitney mentioned we've got to take a break, so mm-hmm. y'all, grab a beverage, grab some water, do what you got to do. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
We are back. You're listening to Fit to Be Tie with Sheena and Whitney on this lovely Sunday afternoon. And it's National Recovery Month, and so we have Ben Spellman here. He's kind of one of our, I guess you always sit in on Recovery Month. This is our third year talking, I guess, pretty in-depth about it on the show. And you're kind of our go-to person when we want to talk about these things, which is kind of cool because we get to learn about, you know, what addiction recovery is, which, you know, we'll get into that pretty soon. But then I feel like as the years have gone on, the times you've been on the show, we've kind of gotten to know you a little bit better. And for us watching you and your journey, it's cool to kind of see how, you know, now you're married, you're going through your graduate program, and it's just a lot of really cool things going on, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's the beauty of you know, living in recovery and working, actively working a program of recovery is, I do a lot of speaking engagements, and they tell us you're supposed to speak on what it was like, what happened, what it's like now. So as time has went on, like what it was like, that segment keeps getting shorter and shorter because I don't have as much time for it. You know, the what it's like now is drastically changing every 6 months.
Yeah, that's a really great perspective.
I like that. And, you know, Ben, we just mentioned that, you know, you recently got married. And, you know, when we think about those people that are close in our lives and, you know, new people that we are introducing into the intimate parts of our life, what was that journey like for you letting your now wife know about that, you know, that addiction history? If you feel comfortable kind of sharing that, because I think that that'd be something great for our listeners to hear about.
Yeah, so as I told you off air, we knew each other in high school. We went our own separate ways. Our paths crossed again. And before there was any kind of a relationship, we were just kind of, you know, talking and catching up. Like, I filled her in that, let's see, we got back, I was about 2.5 years in recovery. And I mean, I was, by that point, I was very open about it. That's another one of the cool things of the recovery lifestyle is it, I can't tell you exactly when it was, but at some point, what was once, like, what I viewed as my greatest failure has now become probably my biggest asset in life. So I was very upfront about it. I mean, I don't get into the nitty-gritty details, you know, that I do, like, when I work with another alcoholic or drug addict. But I've been very open with her, you know, since day one, really, about that.
And I feel like from what I understand about recovery and the 12 steps and, like, now living this life of, you know, continuing to kind of, like, put your best foot forward and think through things, you have to be open. Because if you're not true and open to what you've gone through, because I know with Ross, he, like my brother, he literally won't hold anything back. He's like, what you see is what you get. And I'll tell you exactly how I'm feeling. I have to be true. I have to set boundaries for myself. This is just part of it. So, like, you know, I kind of curious, you know, because I'm kind of ready to get into, like, a little bit of the nitty gritty of, like, what addiction is, you know, for our listeners. Because we hear that word a lot. I think we throw it around a lot. Just kind of like, yeah, I'm addicted to this and that. But there's a lot more to it. So just kind of enlighten us and tell us, you know, what is an addict? What is addiction?
Okay, so I think the most common area of confusion for people, they will look at strictly the chemical usage as addiction. I'm addicted to drinking, or I'm addicted to this, or I'm addicted to that. So there's a difference between a physical dependency and true addiction, disease of addiction. This is where people get confused and where a lot of the pushback against the disease model comes from. It's because when they look and they're like, okay, drinking or using, that is a choice. Choice is a, it's a choice. So it's not a disease of the brain. Okay, so the way that these chemicals act on the brain with people who are genetically predisposed to alcoholism and drug addiction, it acts in the reward center and also in the deep brain, right? In the same area of the brain that's responsible for breathing, eating, sex, sleep, all this stuff. So essentially what it is like, so if I were to ask you to take in a deep breath and hold it as long as you can, right? At first you can control that and say, okay, I'm not going to take a breath because I'm choosing not to. And you can do that for a period of time, but as time starts to go on, the chest will start to tighten up, heart start pounding a little harder, start focusing on it more, face will start to get flush, and eventually at some point it's mm-hmm. that part of the brain of survival takes over and says, mm-hmm. you're going to take a breath whether you want to or not. Mm-hmm. In people with the disease of addiction, it's the same way with chemicals because they act in that same part of the brain to these people who are genetically predisposed to it. Mm-hmm. So they may be able to make a conscious decision for a certain period of time and mm-hmm. say, I'm not going to drink or use. But eventually, when the internal discomfort gets bad enough, mm-hmm. that survival part of the brain is going to kick in and take over and say, you're going to do it whether you want to or not. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference between somebody with the disease of addiction versus somebody who has a drinking problem mm-hmm. or just likes to party too much.
Like a bad habit. It's almost like mm-hmm. you have bad habits, but like, yeah, you're right. Like that chemical dependency is crazy. And just from my brother's experience, what I've seen, like, I mean, the way our brains are wired, and depending on if you are kind of predisposed to that, it's a disease, and it takes a lot of patience with yourself and your family members and things like that. I mean, it's kind of crazy. So those of you listening, you know, I know that, you know, it's kind of hard to think about the differences. You're like, well, just stop drinking. Well, mm-hmm. it's not that easy for some people. Some people right. can, they're not made up that way. And then others, they have a chemical, you know, can have a chemical dependency on mm-hmm. it.
Yeah. And that, I mean, just that analogy you used is so tangible mm-hmm. that I feel like that was just a very practical way for our listeners to discern between, mm-hmm. again, someone who has a quote unquote bad habit and someone who has that chemical dependency. Mm-hmm.
Another one that I use a lot is we know for a fact, like the scientific fact, every human on this earth that takes opioids for an extended period of time will become physically dependent on them. Mm-hmm. They will experience withdrawal symptoms mm-hmm. if that chemical is removed. Mm-hmm. So I love this kind of, it's not really medical, this really happened, this example, because it shows like the difference between these two brains. So mm-hmm. my dad worked with a guy who had severe chronic knee problems mm-hmm. and he took just handfuls of opioids multiple mm-hmm. times a day. And if he mm-hmm. went more than 4 or 5 hours without, he would start getting sick and feeling mm-hmm. withdrawal symptoms. Mm-hmm. After about 10 years, he said, I've had enough of taking this stuff. I'm done with it. Mm-hmm. I don't ever want to touch him again. He went through, you know, 10 to 14 days of horrible opioid withdrawals, mm-hmm. terrible. And he got on the back end of it and he said, I'm so glad that's over. I'm never going to touch these again as long as I live. Mm-hmm. And he mm-hmm. hasn't since then, and his life has gotten better. Mm-hmm. But you have somebody like me that gets that same physical dependency to opioids, mm-hmm. and I go through that same sort of withdrawal. Mm-hmm. And then I get on the back end of it and say, okay, I'm glad that's over. Here's where I messed up, and here's how I can keep it from getting uh-huh. back.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what it looks like and uh-huh. what the kind of the thought process that goes behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like I've heard that before. Yeah. I've definitely heard that before. And you know, it's kind of like that with a lot of, like, any other drug. Like, mm-hmm. let's say you're on antidepressant or, like, a anti-anxiety type pill, and you decide, okay, I think mentally I feel well enough, I want to come off of that pill, where you are going to have withdrawals. And so mm-hmm. I can only imagine with opioids, and as strong as opioids are, and how your tolerance continues to build, how that can definitely, you know, be hard for people to come off of that. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy. And the cool thing is you're very open about talking about these kinds of things, because I think sometimes we like to talk about all the resources that we have and help. But, like, in my opinion, something that can be this serious and, you know, cause such trauma and, you know, breakups and hardships and things like that in your life, I mean, it kind of needs to be talked at in a real setting, mm-hmm. you know?
And I'll give you one more. So you asked about how I talked to my wife about this stuff. Yeah, when we first got together, she might get on. I don't think she'll care about the story. I'm going to tell it anyway. Yeah. So, but she was saying, we both have prior marriages. Mm-hmm. And I was talking about alcoholism and stuff one day, and she's like, I think I might be an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. So, well, why do you say that? She said, well, back before my divorce, I was drinking a lot, like mm-hmm. every day. I was like, okay, so what happened after your divorce? She's like, mm-hmm. well, I quit. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, now let me explain something. Mm-hmm. So when you were drinking because of an external circumstance mm-hmm. and that external circumstance was removed, mm-hmm. you stopped. Mm-hmm. When I'd say I'm drinking over an external circumstance and that external circumstance gets removed, now I drink to celebrate not having that external circumstance.
It's like you're always going to do it.
So I'm going to either way, no matter what. So that's the difference.
I think that's great for our listeners to hear, too.
No, yeah. And, I mean, I have just been geeking out during this whole experience because it's just, again, even though you've been with us before, Ben, just to get to learn more about this and really you also speaking now from the educational background that you have from your undergrad and now going through your master's program. But, you know, we've got to take a break. And when we get back, you know, let's definitely jump into some discussion about collegiate recovery community and all that it has to offer. But, y'all, grab a beverage, take a break. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
We are back celebrating National Recovery Month with our friend Ben. Can't even talk, guys. I'm telling you. This is how you know I need to go to Disney World. I need my reset. Our friend Ben. And he's just been enlightening us on his story and his background. Five and a half years sober, so or getting almost to that five and a half mark and almost into 6 years. So I think that that's just great for our listeners to listen to. And, you know, I'm kind of curious. We've talked a lot about your story, and we do have resources on campus, and there are resources in the community. And I kind of want to talk about ways that if you're someone listening to the show and you think you might have a problem, you're not really sure, you're just kind of listening and thinking this kind of resonates with me, like what would be the first thing you would do if you suspect that some of these traits that you're mentioning kind of hit home for some of our listeners?
Yeah, reach out and talk to somebody that can help and maybe clarify some of this stuff. I'm a member of the Collegiate Recovery Community, like was just mentioned. It's part of the Collegiate Recovery Intervention Services umbrella, and the building is it's on campus right up next to the law school. I'm really not sure of the exact address, but it's over there. So we have, regardless, we love having people come in just to talk. I'm the chairperson of what we call the Newcomer Committee, so if you come in and become interested, you'll get to meet me. So that's a bonus.
There you go.
The man himself.
Or deterrent, depending on who you talk to, I guess. But, yeah, so when you come in, we're not going to force you into anything. We just want to talk to you, know, get to know you. And we have several different options available to accommodate various different where people are at. Because not everybody walks into our building in the collegiate recovery community with, hey, I've got 4 years sober and I'm just ready to go back to school. That's not the case for everybody. So for full membership in CRC, we do have a year requirement of sober time, as well as some other requirements. But we have other programs that to make sure that we catch everybody that comes in the door, right? So the next day will be the Forge program, which is you're not mandated to say you have to live in a 12-step recovery lifestyle. That's not what it's for. It's for I'm kind of curious about this whole recovery thing, and I want to dabble in it a little bit. I want to see what it's all about and to have the freedom to be able to do that. And again, like I practice 12-step recovery. I'm a huge favor of it. I believe in it wholeheartedly. There are people who've gotten sober other ways. So just because somebody doesn't particularly use that same way, we don't want to just cut them out, right? We want to make sure that we have ways to get everybody involved regardless of which pathway they choose.
I think that, you know, we always like to talk about our resources on campus, and y'all seem to have the most fun on side of campus. Because I used to teach some yoga classes over there, and every time I walk in, it was like somebody's dog was walking around, somebody was like throwing a ball, and then like you have your the room in the back with the TV, and like you have a meditation room also. And like I walk in, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so much fun over here.
I know,
here.
The pantry is always stocked.
Yeah, it is, always.
I'm always checking that out,
It's a good community, you know? I mean, y'all really do look out for each other, and having people, you know, with the same likelihood, you know, to talk about those things. I mean, it's great.
And do you guys still do, I've attended a few of them, the events that you guys have done on Thursday nights, the like Celebrate Recovery Nights, where someone shares their story, is that going on this semester as well?
Yes, Recovery Night is in Farrah Hall, I think it's room 122.
Could they find it on the website, you think?
It should be on there. It should be on there somewhere. If not, it's when you pull into Farrah Hall's parking lot. It's the door on the bottom. It's one something. It's every Thursday night at 7.
Nice.
And it's very, I guess, the equivalent of a non-denominational thing. Mm-hmm. So it's not specifically AA, NA. There's no specific. It's just if different people in recovery sharing experience, strength, and hope.
Yeah. Well, how was that affected during the pandemic? Because, you know, I think we were also curious, too, mm-hmm. how, you know, with the collegiate recovery community and all the services you have to offer, you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't recognize, like, how the pandemic has affected, like, normal university operations, mm-hmm. including the programs y'all do. How was Recovery Night affected during that, like, especially, like, mm-hmm. last school year?
Yeah, last school year it was... I'm trying to remember when we went back to hybrid. I think that was in the spring. But, like, last fall, it was, like, pure virtual.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have, like, 4 people
show
up.
Yeah.
Which was discouraging for those of us that have been around for a while. Mm-hmm. And, really enjoy, like, not just coming. Like, I'll speak for myself. That Thursday night meeting is always kind of an anchor in mm-hmm. the schedule.
Yeah.
Right? It's just kind of a good point of the week of, like, okay, I've got the majority of it over with. I get this to look forward to. Mm-hmm. And it's just a good kind of point to fixate on mm-hmm. and have as a, you know, consistent mm-hmm. thing there. So when that got kind of taken away, like, it was really discouraging to see, like, numbers drop and people mm-hmm. get less involved with it. And then we moved back, I'm trying to remember my time frames. Back last spring, we moved back into a hybrid format.
Mm-hmm.
We still had the speaker in person, and you could come in person if you mm-hmm. wanted to, mm-hmm. with all the various precautions mm-hmm. taken. Or you could Zoom into it, mm-hmm. which I didn't feel like that was much better, mm-hmm. Just because it still didn't have that sense of community mm-hmm. that we love to have. But now this year we've went back to just being full in person mm-hmm. and being able to do that. It's the big group getting mm-hmm. together again. Even though like the names and faces are different, mm-hmm. it's still the same.
It's
in a way.
Kind of starting over in some ways mm-hmm. and trying to build that. And I know not just in collegiate recovery, but at the rec center, I'm sure in your area mm-hmm. on campus as well. I mean, the pandemic really did screw some stuff up mentally for people because you're so used to having this, you know, schedule and this pattern, especially for us teaching, you know, group exercise classes with people and yoga classes. And yoga is not the same through Zoom. Like, you cannot connect to people that way. And so I can only imagine when you're in that setting with collegiate recovery and the community setting, like, looking at a screen is just not mm-hmm. helpful. I mean, we did what we had to do, and I think mm-hmm. that's great, but I'm glad that things are becoming more normal, quote unquote, whatever that'll mean, but more normal these days, you know, with, you know, the pandemic. So.
Absolutely. And, you know, thinking about community too, and also recognizing that it's football season. I know we're, you know, nearing the end of this segment, Ben, but tell our listeners about the tailgate that you guys have.
Yes, we have a big sober tailgate. It's, if you're walking down University, it's on the Denny Chimes side of the road mm-hmm. on the quad, maybe about 50 yards or so before mm-hmm. you get to the Chimes, if that far.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a big one set up, and there's a lot of yellow balloons mm-hmm. that we hang up flying, and we always have TVs up and going. They don't hold back with the food we have catered.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a fantastic thing and a good way to kind of put ourselves out there and I don't want to say market, but let people know that we're there.
That there's another opportunity on the quad that you don't have to go get smashed mm-hmm. if that's not what you want to do, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So is that open to anyone?
Anybody who wants to come by, we would mm-hmm. love to see you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, good to know. Well, and I had another question in mind. Like, through all of the talking, I've just been like, oh my gosh, this sounds great. This sounds great. This sounds great. I did ask about the tailgate. Whitney, I'm trying to think. Can you read my mind?
Look, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, I am due for a vacation, and I think you're due for a vacation.
Well, I need both of you to take a vacation yes. for me yes. as well.
Yes.
I'll be up here at the Capstone Family Therapy Clinic.
Okay.
So
okay.
Y'all take care of that for me.
I will.
You'll give good enough vacation to for me too.
Yeah. Well, we gotcha.
And so, you know, with that, tell us a little bit about what your experience has been in that. Like, what kind of, what do those clinic hours look like for you? What does that structure look like as a grad student, just out of curiosity?
Oh, it's so busy. Really? I do an internship through a addiction treatment center, and I do IOP group for the first half of the day, several days a week from like 8:30 to 12. And then usually in the afternoon, I'm seeing clients for everything from anxiety to self-harm to depression and infidelity and everything in between. From individuals, couples, entire families, a little bit of everything. So from day to day, I see pretty much the full gamut of what there is out there.
Last question, is that virtual or in service right now with the COVID protocols?
Both.
Okay.
We do have it in person, but if a client prefers to, we were also trained in teletherapy.
Yeah. Well, nice. Well, Ben, you are a wealth of knowledge, as always. Thank you for sharing your story with us. And I'm like coughing from the air. But thank you all so much. And Ben, thank you. We've got to take a break, y'all. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
We are finishing up another great show today. Although Sheena and I, we both were talking during the break that our brains have turned to mush. And I really do think it's because we're kind of in that point in this semester that we talked about earlier of like, okay, we can kind of take a breath because everything is kind of set into motion. But my brain is just straight up mush. I don't know about you.
Yes. I mean, it is weird, you know, and I think it has been this whole, like, since the semester started, it's been hitting the ground running. And especially, too, because, you know, we have really advertised ourselves to be this business as usual with the semester. And I think that it's just a change of pace from what we were at before. And so I'm excited to do it because I like to go back to the types of programs that I, you know, would have done pre-pandemic. So that's definitely like fun and awesome. But it's like my brain is like, hold up, I need to get like acclimated. And now, Whitney, I feel like, you know, this is kind of a nice connection here, you know, with part of that. Something that helps with brain sharpness is being well hydrated. And we were talking before the show started earlier today about your hydration habits. So tell me, have you gotten bougie with your liquids?
Well, let me first off just say this. Being in the fitness world and like teaching yoga and Pilates, one would think that I drink tons of water. I don't drink sodas. I don't drink stuff like that. I do drink water, but sometimes I can go a really long time and not even think, like not remember to have water.
I mean,
my body just doesn't really require a lot of water. Well, I started thinking, I was like, you know what? I do need to drink more water, but I have gotten bougie with my water and I now drink Evian water. And I actually, some of you guys are like, oh my gosh, you'd pay that much for water. I'm like, but I can literally tell the difference. Like I kind of tasted a few waters just to kind of see if I could tell. And it tastes so different to me. So I actually will go and I will buy like, I think it's like a liter and a half maybe, like the big bottle of water. And if I can drink one of those in a day, I feel pretty good about my water intake, you know, just making sure that I'm staying hydrated. I will say that by drinking more water, I do think I have had more energy. I'm trying to drink more in the water, more in the morning when I, you know, after having like a little bit of coffee, like instead of just like not drinking anything for a while, I'll try to like slam a lot of water to kind of get my day started. But I really do think it's helped me have a little bit more energy, definitely feel better. But yes, I have become bougie. I love fizzy water too. Fizzy water, for those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, sparkling water. I like drinking bubbly water, although I don't feel like it hydrates me. It's weird.
No, it's one of those, like, to me, I call it a recreational beverage.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You drink it, like, maybe if you're, like, needing a little fix or something.
Just want something that's, just beyond that flat water. But then you are so right, because I, too, can tell differences between, like, different brands of bottled water. And if I don't like a particular, like, I'm not going to drink it. I'm going to be like, oh, my gosh, this tastes terrible. And so when you do find a, quote-unquote, flavor of water that you like, it's so refreshing, you know, for lack of better words. So I don't know, but that's really interesting.
You know, I heard something, I don't know if this is true or not. I don't know where I heard it. This could have been like somewhere on YouTube, the radio, somebody could tell me. But some of the water that you buy, and maybe you know this, like that's cheaper and it says purified, I heard that sometimes it's just like poured from like the faucet and then they bottle it and market it. So I don't know if that's true or not. That's why I kind of feel like spring water to me is usually, or artesian water is usually kind of my choice rather than like a purified water.
Yes. Well, I used to joke like this. So y'all, and again, let me just say, since this is a radio show, this is my opinion and a joke.
Yeah.
You know, I used to joke with like Dasani water. I would be, because it's by Coca-Cola, I'd be like, oh, that's Atlanta City water.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's made and processed in Atlanta. But, you know, I mean, because they do, you know, the water plants in different municipalities, like, they purify the water.
Do.
So, again, yeah, it's like a clarification of, like, what is a marketing tactic versus yada
that's
yada.
That's true. It definitely has, to me, a different flavor. Like, I feel like I can tell the flavor. And I tried one. This is so funny. I went on a water kick where I was like, I'm going to try every neat water that's out there. And I tried, like, this volcano water.
Uh-huh.
And the pH was, like, kind of... I can't remember if it was high or low, but anyway, and it was like, it kind of burned. Like it had like a burn to, and I tried a Hawaiian volcano water and then like an Icelandic volcano water that I bought somewhere. I don't know. Who knows where I find this stuff. And I could definitely tell, like, feel like a little bit of a burn.
Yeah.
And so I don't like if anything says volcanic water, stay clear because it has a burn to it.
Man.
Pretty crazy.
Like, and so with this water talk, y'all, I'm going to get, and I'll claim it right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put something up on our Instagram asking, what's your favorite bottled water? What's your, you know, what's up with your water? That'll be our way to engage with y'all. But you guys, it's been the end of a Sunday. Thank you for listening to us. You have been listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.